Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. So good to be with you today. My name is Matt Hatch. I lead the team that leads Mosaic. I'm going to be speaking today. And actually, it was just yesterday, I was thumbing through some old photos, and I was showing my son Tom the high life I led when I was in my 20s. And one of the things I did was I spent 3 months in Israel, in Jerusalem, working actually as a carpenter just outside Bethlehem, if you really want to know. And one of the things I did when I was in Jerusalem is that I got to visit this place, which is the Garden Tomb. And it's the most surreal thing ever, really, because it's in the middle of Jerusalem. And it's not the actual site of the first Easter, but an incredible place where you can see a tomb that's been dug into a rock. And you can see where sort of a stone, if you like, would have been rolled across the entrance. And it's an incredible place to connect with the death and resurrection of Jesus. Yet for most people who don't get to go to places like this, I just think the reality is Easter is quite sort of a distant, detached holiday in the yearly calendar. I was speaking to friends at the gym, and for them, Easter is just, it's a holiday, it's a bank holiday, it's a time for family. I know if you walk into the shops, there is absolutely no recognition of the Christian story. I saw there was an advert in Sainsbury's for Gordon's gin that actually said, "Make Good Friday great." And I'm like, you guys have totally missed the point of this, because at Christmas, obviously, you've got small connections with the Christian story, don't you? You often have Bethlehem, you have stars, you have the manger, that sort of thing. But Easter, it is literally just chocolate, isn't it? And bunnies and eggs and flowers and that sort of stuff. And so I think there's a great sort of lack of awareness of what Easter is about. And that's really important for us to know as a church family, as those wanting to sort of celebrate Easter, for those of us that recognize it is the sort of pinnacle of the Christian year. And also for us to be able to connect with those that perhaps are just unfamiliar with the story. And even here today, most Sundays we have people with us that wouldn't call themselves Christians, that perhaps have got some maybe sort of Catholic upbringing, and so they're open to spiritual things and know about the sort of Christian calendar, or it might be friends that have sort of been dragged along from work, or those that are just sort of on a bit of a spiritual journey. And so it's in moments like this, it's important that we don't just take it for granted, but we recognize like the point of all of this. So I've got two questions that I'm going to answer in the next 15 minutes or so. Number one, what is Easter about? I want you all to feel like if someone asked you that question today, you'd be able to say more than, you know, it's about the Easter bunny and chocolate and that sort of thing. So we're going to answer that question. Number two, this is probably more important. Why is it so important? Why is it that we go to all the effort of getting balloons out on a Sunday? So hopefully it's helpful, and we're going to connect with the Easter story. So if you've got a Bible, why don't you open it to John chapter 20. We're going to have it on the screen. We're going to read from verse 1. So John chapter 20, reading from verse 1. And it says this: "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him.'" So we've got Mary, who is first on the scene, and she's from Magdala. She is often overlooked, but she's actually mentioned in the Gospels about 12 times. So she's actually mentioned quite a lot more than many of the 12 disciples. We're told through the Gospels that Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. And so you can only sort of imagine some of the challenges she's had in life up to this point. And from what we can tell, Mary sort of traveled with Jesus. She seemed to have a little bit of wealth, but somehow she is swept up into the world of Jesus. And we believe chiefly that's because Jesus was able to offer her acceptance and love in a way that she'd never ever come across in the world before. And Jesus elevates her as a woman, as he does all women, and coming from a background where we think she was probably overlooked or abandoned in some way, Jesus loves, includes, and accepts her. She isn't judged, she's not manipulated by him. And it's just important for you to know that, because that's why she's at the tomb on Easter Sunday. Because the great love of her life has been lost. She's found herself on a sort of just an emotional roller coaster over the last couple of days. So on the Thursday and Friday, she would have followed Jesus being accused and then beaten and stripped, hatred poured out on him, crucified, and then killed. And so our best guess is she's at the tomb because she wants to mourn. She wants to connect somehow to Jesus. And it's clear that she's actually really taken aback that she finds the tomb empty. So let's continue with the story. And just so you know, there's a couple of things going on in the retelling of this story. The Apostle John is writing, and he calls himself the disciple Jesus loved. And it's quite a claim. And as you read these verses, you can see there's a dynamic going on where he's constantly trying to trump Simon Peter. And you've got to ask yourself, why is he doing that? And I guess the experts would say, not only is he wanting to communicate the Easter story, resurrection of Jesus, but his gospel was written after Mark's gospel, which most people think Simon Peter had a hand in helping Mark write. And so at this stage, John is trying to sort of say, my story and my first-hand account, my witness to the resurrection of Jesus is important. In fact, maybe even a little bit more important than Simon Peter's. And so if you are a competitive person, this is like your favorite few verses in the whole of the Bible. Here we go, verse 3. So Peter and the other disciple, which is John, started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Didn't rush anything, just took my time. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who'd reached the tomb first, don't forget, also went inside. He saw and believed. And they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to where they were staying. So listen, there is nothing like this in ancient literature. John is claiming that the tomb is now empty. And John, who didn't at this point, up until this point, believe in the resurrection of Jesus, we're told in verse 8, saw and believe. Jesus had risen from the dead. And so to answer our first question, what is Easter all about? It's this. It's the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Wayne, just turn to the person next to you, and one of you ask the question, one of you give the answer. Can you try and do that? It's a bit complicated. Well done. I've never seen people so reticent to ask a question. So that's our answer to the first question. What is Easter all about? Jesus rose from the dead. And this, if you're a visitor or not a Christian yet, is the bit you need to decide upon. Because everyone here in the room that says I'm a Christian, we've made up our mind about this. Did Jesus really rise from the grave? And if he didn't, then what? Like, what do you think actually happened? Did he actually die? Do you believe that he just perhaps swooned on the cross? That theory seems very unlikely given the Romans' expertise at killing people. He had a spear through his heart. And you've got to question why they didn't notice, like, the injuries or the effects of the torture on the resurrection of Jesus. There's no talking about that whatsoever. Did the disciples steal the body? Well, it's unlikely they would have got past the Roman guards or eventually die for their beliefs if it was all based on a lie. Did they hallucinate or imagine Jesus because they so wanted to be with him? Again, unlikely because of the public nature of all the appearances, the number of witnesses, and just the rise of the early church in Jerusalem. the place where the actual witnesses were. So you need to decide for yourself, did Jesus rise from the grave? And 2 billion people around the planet have put their hope in the resurrection of Jesus, and we pray that you do too. So what's Easter about? It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Secondly, why is Easter so important? Well, let's read about the first person to actually see Jesus. Verse 11 of John 20. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked a woman, "Why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked a woman, "Why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. So three things about the resurrection among many that make it so important. Number one is restoration. Turn to the other person next to you and say restoration to them. Restoration. I just think it's magnificent that Jesus doesn't act like a showman or a magician. He just comes quietly initially to one person. It's intimate, it's personal. And she didn't recognize him until he said her name, Mary. He's here for her. And for me, as I read this account, it tells me that this experience points to a God who intimately loves us and wants to restore us. The God of the universe chooses to reveal himself firstly to her. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Like the risen Jesus comes to her. You think, when you think about a God that would do something like that, he's altogether different from, I think, the God our culture wants to paint him to be. Brennan Manning, who's a Christian author, he puts it like this. If we continue to picture God as a small-minded bookkeeper, a niggling customs officer rifling through our moral suitcase, as a policeman with a club who's going to bat us over the head every time we stumble and fall, or as a whimsical, capricious and cantankerous thief who delights in raining on our parade and stealing our joy, we flatly deny what John writes in his first letter. God is love. In human beings, love is a quality, a highly prized virtue. In God, love is his identity. Amen? This is beautiful. We're making the claim that if you choose to look for Jesus, and if you acknowledge the ruin that's in your life, like Mary did, we believe that Jesus calls your name too this Easter. And not only does he call your name, but he tells you who you really are. His resurrection proves he has restored our relationship with God and our purpose in the world. And I think that the restoration that we see here is a bit like, you could call it a reclaimed original. So it's a bit like if you have an old oil painting, nobody has old paintings these days, but if you have an old painting that gets cleaned and mended and restored, or perhaps think of a church building that's been burnt down and then completely rebuilt, the old gets carefully put back in order. That's what it is to be a reclaimed original. And God does that in people's lives. A life rebuilt into something beautiful. Romans 8 verse 11 tells us this. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the spirit who lives in you. So somehow that resurrection power renews us and restores us in our hearts. Romans 8 goes on to say, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. So chiefly the restoration that happens in the resurrection is that our relationship with God the Father is restored. God is love. We can know him. He calls your name. So firstly, restoration. Secondly, future resurrection. I think it's really strange that Mary doesn't recognize Jesus. Like somehow it's clear that he's transformed from what he looked like before he died. So he's the same yet different. You could sort of call his body transphysical. So his physical body is somehow transformed. I heard this week of someone who went to a school reunion and they got on a bus in central London to then travel to where the reunion was. And he got on the bus and he didn't recognize anyone. And he thought he'd got on the wrong bus. And so he sort of went with the flow and began chatting to the person nearest to them. And it turns out that they did actually know each other. And it turned out that he knew everyone on the bus. But it was 50 years after they'd all been in the same room. They were the same people, but they looked different. And in the garden, somehow the reverse has happened. It's not from younger to older, but somehow it's older to younger. Mary sees the new Jesus, and he's transformed, he's changed. And what you see in Jesus is actually a foretaste of what happens to everyone who believes in Jesus. Not only do you begin a relationship with God, but you too, when you die, you will receive a transphysical body. You are raised too. Easter is important because resurrection is also for us. There's this chain reaction that happens from the resurrection of Jesus that bursts into our lives and our future lives. 1 Corinthians 15. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. So will it be for what happens when you die. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So Christians dare to believe that after death there is a new life, there is a new body, there is a new future with God. Heaven is not going to be full of angels with harps on clouds. But rather it's this new life that has the absence of all evil and suffering and death, where every mental and physical and emotional damage or disability is healed and restored. And more than that, everything is reversed. So somehow the suffering and injustice that we experience in this life gets repaid with deep joy and deep peace. One Christian author, Frederick Buchner, says this: resurrection means the worst thing is never the last thing. The worst thing is never the last thing. In heaven, it's still our body, but we're like Jesus. It's different. Now, you may ask, if our resurrection bodies are so good, why does Jesus still have scars? Because we'll find out a little later in the story that he shows his scars to his disciples. And I guess the honest answer is, we don't know. But somehow, these healed wounds forever speak of the victory that he's won. His ultimate triumph as the lamb that was slain. One implication of future resurrection means that we don't need to worry so much about our future. So as Christians, we still grieve, we still mourn. There's still incredible sense of loss. We endure pain, but we have this hope that resides in our hearts that acts like an anchor in the storm when we face death. How? Well, we believe as Christians that Jesus has gone before us. Another Christian author, Max Lucado, in his book 6 Hours One Friday, tells the story of a missionary in Brazil who discovers a tribe of Indians in a really remote part of the jungle. And they live near this large river. And the tribe was in need of medical attention because some sort of contagious disease was ravaging the population and the people were dying daily. And the hospital wasn't too far away, but the problem was it was on the other side of the river. And the Indians wouldn't cross the river because they believed it was inhabited by evil spirits. And so if you entered that water, you would die. And so the missionary explained very respectfully that he believed that Jesus was more powerful than the spirits in the water. So he crossed the river and was unharmed, but they weren't impressed. So he took them to the bank and placed his hand in the water, but still they just wouldn't join him. And so eventually he walked into the water up to his waist and splashed his face. And they still weren't convinced to come in. So eventually he dived under the surface and sort of swam underwater and appeared on the other side. And finally, when he sort of popped up the other side, the Indians broke into a cheer and followed him across. And I would put it to you, that is exactly what Jesus has done for us. He entered the river of death and came out on the other side so that we might no longer succumb to the fear of death. Amen. That's the hope we have. So why is Easter important? There's restoration. Restoration for you personally. There's future resurrection that gives us hope in this life. And lastly, there is a new role and responsibility. So the story continues, verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." You get a feeling like they were totally freaking out in these moments. Twice as, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So Jesus stands among them and he lets them investigate him. They touch his wounds. They listen to him speak. They are overjoyed, but quickly they're aware that their relationship from the past 3 years with Jesus is going to be changed too, that he's only going to be with them a short time, and instead he's going to fill them with his presence, the Holy Spirit. And then as they're filled with the Holy Spirit, he sends them out to complete the mission that he started. Jesus had already told them, John 16, "I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So why is the resurrection important? Well, it gives us a new role and responsibility. Jesus saves us to be sent into the world on mission in the power of the Spirit, just as he does his disciples. Now, I remember as a student being filled with the Holy Spirit and going back home to my student house, and I had a lot of relational issues with that house. But one of the things that I suddenly felt a desire to do was to tell them about my faith. I'd always been too scared to do that. I also found myself with some housemates working our way down our road, knocking on doors, asking people like that if they had any interest or hunger in spiritual things. You need to know that was not something I did. I was really cool back then, and you don't need to laugh. I was really cool back then, and fear just absolutely dominated my life. And as I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I suddenly felt this courage, this desire. It was not something that came from me that wanted me to share my faith. And that's what Jesus is doing. He understands the disciples don't want to do it. They understand none of you really want to do it. The Holy Spirit comes. Water's the only one amongst us at the moment. But it doesn't have to be that way. You see, what happens at the resurrection, as Jesus gives us this new role and responsibility, is that it gives us this urge to be on the leading edge of sharing this message with others. And I tell you what I see when I turn on the news. I see a culture that is desperate for restoration and needing hope for the future. Politicians are failing us. Our culture is becoming incredibly polarized. The self-help movement is utterly empty. Technology is causing pain as well as healing. And mental health is just absolutely rife across our culture. And I think people want to hear why we have hope, why we stand above that as well as alongside it. We're called to take the message of Easter, that God's new world is breaking into the present. And what the resurrection tells us is that we can be free from the power of fear. We may still feel afraid, but we can be free from the power of fear that robs us of this new role and responsibility. So guys, you've listened so well. What's Easter about? Easter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Why is Easter important? Let's read them together. Next one. Restoration, future resurrection, and new role and responsibility. Do you want to stand with me? Let's have the band back. We're going to celebrate what God's done. But I want to pray for you to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. So if you're able just to stand, why don't you do that? We're going to take communion in just a moment. But so why don't you just close your eyes? And if you know that you want to be stirred afresh to have courage to share this incredible good news, if you want to be those that really connect deeply with this hope that we have for the future, which means that we don't face death in the way that others might. Holy Spirit, you're so welcome in this place. Thank you that you're here. We believe you're here as we gather in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Holy Spirit, you would fill us afresh, just as Jesus commissioned his disciples and then breathed on them. We ask you, breath of God, come and breathe on us. Pray if there's anyone in the room that is not yet convinced that Jesus rose from the dead, that by your Spirit you would open our eyes to see. Just like that man on that video just came to that point where he realized his life was broken without Jesus. Lord, I pray for anyone in this room today just needs to reach out to Jesus. Lord, thank you so much you came to Mary personally, individually, tenderly. Pray for any Marys in the room that just need to know your touch afresh. Thank you, you don't leave us as orphans, but you come to us as a good father. And so God, let the joy of Easter rise in our hearts. Lord, let us celebrate all that you've done for us. And Holy Spirit, we say, have your way in our hearts, so we wouldn't be those that acknowledge you in this room, but shun away from explaining what Easter's about outside of it. God, put courage in our rooms to be those that are your witnesses. Send us as Jesus was sent, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.